Welcome to another episode of Foolish Adventure. I'm Izzy Hyman, and I'm here with my friend and colleague, Tim Conley. Hello, Tim.
Hey, what's up, Izzy?
Hello. All right. So today we're going to talk about naming things. And we're talking about naming your business, your website. In a lot of cases, you're naming both at the same time. What does it take to have a good name? How do you come up with good names? What are some things to watch out for? And I've certainly named several things with all the different projects I've done online. And I've picked some good names, and I've picked some bad names. And so I definitely have some things to talk about. And then, of course, we have Tim here. And Tim is an expert on building businesses online and knows a lot of stuff that has to do with naming your stuff. So let's go ahead and do it. Let's talk about some of the stuff. First of all, okay, there's two different directions that you can go toward when it comes to naming. One of them we refer to as branding. The other one we refer to as SEO. We're trying to figure out what to call this right before we started the show. I was thinking like more like just literal naming, and Tim brings up the good point. It's really about SEO. So can you please describe the difference, Tim?
Well, one of the things in the search engine optimization world, I've heard a few times where people call it search branding, where you're actually coming up with names that will show up for specific search phrases. So that so maybe we can call it search branding, search naming, that sort of thing, because that's what it's for. We do it just for that purpose.
Just so it'll show up high in the search results. So yes. You name something. Like, for example, I registered a domain yesterday that I can't believe that I got because it was available, and it just blows me away that it was available. But FinalCutProVideos.com. was available. Now, I don't have anything called Final Cut Pro Videos. That's not the name of my company. That's not the name of my products. I do have a product that's called Learn Final Cut Pro 6, but a term that people would be searching for is Final Cut Pro Videos. In fact, I did a search. I looked at the Google keyword research tool yesterday and found out that the phrase Learn Final Cut Pro is Googled like 800 and something times per month. So 800 times per month. But the phrase Final Cut Pro Videos is searched for almost 20,000 times per month. So that's a much better domain name.
It's significantly better.
Yeah, 20 times better or more.
And if you do some search engine optimization and make sure that it shows up as the number one listing, in say Google, you're going to get probably 40% of those 20,000 to show up on your site.
Okay, well, I'll report back on how that goes because right now this is the first time I've ever done something like this. In the past, I've always taken the other approach, which is naming things according to branding. I've never done naming according to search engine optimization before.
Well, I think it's a strategy that it's not an either or strategy. Everybody should be developing a brand name for their business. Or as a couple of mentors that I've had in the past, they said, spend more time branding your products and not so much branding your company. Because nobody really cares about Procter & Gamble, but they do like the products, the brands that Procter & Gamble puts out. You know, we do know who they are, P&G, people know who they are, but we don't buy because of them. We buy the brands that they actually put out. So they put all their money into branding their products.
That's awesome. That's a really good advice.
So you can do the exact same thing with your products on the internet. And so a lot of people, the name of their site is usually also their product. Whatever they're coming up with.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about branding now. Okay, so for example, our scrapbooking show that my wife hosts is called Paper Clipping. And paper clipping is not a term that people would just naturally, Google if they're learning about scrapbooking videos. Like if they think to themselves, unless they're aware of paper clipping, obviously, but let's say that before paper clipping existed, then if somebody wants to find some scrapbooking videos, they aren't going to go sit down at a search engine and Google the phrase paper clipping. They're going to Google something like scrapbook videos or scrapbooking video tutorials or something like that. So branding is when you choose something and then make it your own. I mean, it took us forever and ever and ever to come up with the phrase paper clipping. But once we did come up with it, it just rang perfect to us. And we'll talk about some of the reasons why the name works. But then it was all about creating a brand around it. So now when somebody Googles the phrase paperclip, you know, they're literally trying to go to paperclipping when they Google that phrase.
Right. And not only that, it's an easy name to pass around. That's the whole point about branding, is that it will stick in the person's mind and be something that they will easily be able to share with other people.
Okay, so let's go ahead and use that idea then to give some advice here about naming. Okay, so now I want to back up a little bit and just say that naming is hard. Like when I'm creating something new for the web, we spend lots of time trying to come up with good names. And there's all kinds of things that you run into. Like for example, you'll come up with something great and you go, oh, that'd be a perfect name. And then you'll go and check and it won't be available. So then, you know, back to the drawing board, unless you can buy the domain from someone, for example. Okay, let's talk about this here for a second, Tim, because this is something I have never done. And that is, I've never bought a domain from somebody else, like a private owner. I've never done that. All I've done is buy domains from registrars.
Buying a domain name outside of a registrar may sound scary, and to a lot of people it is. It's not really that big of a deal. A lot of people have domain names. Some buy them and sit on them just so they can resell them at a higher price at a later time. Yeah, I've even purchased domain names where I got did the search just a month after someone had purchased it.
Ugh.
But I really wanted the domain name, and they were willing to sell it for like $100.
So in that case, it's definitely worth it. Now, is it too much to go into in the show to talk about how that happens? I mean, first of all, how do you find out who owns the domain?
Well, you can do a whois, go to whois.org. I buy all my domain names through GoDaddy. I like having a central place to manage all my domain names, and they've got decent pricing, and you can get discount codes and stuff every time you renew and everything. So it's worth it, because you can essentially get a cheap domain name and keep paying cheaply for years. But on there, they have a little tool that you can type in the name, a domain name idea, and it'll say what's available. And then if it says it's not available, there's a little section right next to it, a little bit of hyperlink text that you can click on that says more info. And then that automatically pulls up the whois.
The whois is basically, it's like a little computer term, I guess, that pulls up all the information for who owns the domain, right?
Well, yeah, it was a site that was set up a long time ago just to
keep track of that stuff,
keep
a
track
database.
Who owns what domain names. And so sometimes you'll run into this people who use privacy.
I do.
I don't. I don't do it. The idea a long time ago was it helped prevent spamming, and it helped prevent any kind of identity theft or whatever. Those things, I haven't really experienced it. I don't really know anyone who has. I used to get spammed a long time ago, but after anti-spam technology has expanded in the last 10 years, I don't get any spam from having my name and email address on my registrar. So even if it's private, there's a spot in there where you can contact whoever's doing the privacy setting. GoDaddy doesn't do it themselves. They actually outsource it to someone else that has that service. So there's a special email code assigned to whoever truly owns it, and then it eventually gets forwarded to them.
So you can basically contact the owner of any domain. It'll just be rerouted as like by proxy through somebody else.
Yeah. Granted, with people who do the privacy thing and then never do anything with their domain name, they probably will never check the email that they set up for that domain, and you'll never know. You'll never be able to contact them.
But it might take a few seconds to send off a quick note to them. Right. So
right.
It might be worth your time anyway, just in case.
And doing a little bit of sleuthing, you can actually find out if that person's bought other domain names. There's some tricks in just Googling things.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. because everything's just interconnected, you might be able to track down the person who actually owns that domain name because of something else that they're doing online too.
Okay, so now you find out who the person is.
And you contact them and you just say, are you interested in selling this domain name?
And it's funny because I get those emails periodically where people are asking me if I'm interested in selling my domain names. And it's funny to me because it's almost like they didn't even look at the website to find out if I'm using it or something, because here I am running like a business around this and somebody will say, hey, is izzyvideo.com for sale? You know, I'm like, no, it's not even close to being for sale. I'm using it.
Well,
it's important.
The thing is they don't know.
No, they don't.
Okay, even if you are actively using it, sites go out of use like instantly. Right
there. Yeah, that's right. People just abandon it.
Yeah. You know, I've got loads of those sites where I've used them for a while and I'm done with them, but I don't want to get rid of them because now they've been aged for a while. And so they have some SEO value. So if I ever want to use them again for something else, then I just start reusing them. So I don't let mine go away. But other people may come in, and if I got offered on some of my domain names, if somebody got a hold of me and said, hey, I'm interested in buying this because they want the SEO value from that site, and they offer me a good price, I would probably be willing to take it.
Okay, so that's another option. That's something I've personally never done, and when it comes to coming up with names, I think that's a brilliant idea. My experience is when I come up with something good, I'm not the first person that came up with something good. So when I go to the domain, it's something people are actively using. They've built a brand around, you know, that kind of stuff. So,
but you might be able to find something similar that is available, which a lot of these domain name tools that exist out there can help you come up with a name.
One tool that I like to use when I'm coming up with names is one called bustaname.com. Have you ever seen that one, Tim?
Yeah, I've seen that one. And
Nameboy.com. That's a good one.
And those will help, you know, create names for you, you know, different combinations. I like GoDaddy's because it comes up with combinations that are that are semantically related or something that's simple, like whatever the name you're actually looking for now, or something that's a short word that you can just stick on the end of it.
Yeah.
And so it's not great. It's not a very good name, but it's essentially what I'm looking for. And I usually buy those for search engine optimization stuff.
Now, obviously, one of the things that people have to be aware of also is trademarks. You know, if somebody's doing business and building a big brand around a certain trademark, and you probably want to be careful about getting that domain. You might not be able to do much with it.
Yes.
Yes, and we're not attorneys.
Yeah, so I am not about to say what I actually think on air.
All right. Okay, let's keep going here. So other tips. You were talking earlier about making something, when it's a brand, you want to make it memorable. You want to make it easy to pass around. And so some things are easier than other things. Like, for example, if it's easy to say and pronounce, then it's going to, it'll be easier for somebody to spread the word. And I mean, here's just a perfect example for me. In fact, I think I read this in a Seth Godin book years ago, when I think Seth Godin was the one who's writing about this. I'm not positive, but it was something like, you know, he saw that there was a problem with the Toyota Prius because people didn't know how to pronounce it. They couldn't say somebody else, hey, have you driven the Prius? The Prius, you know, is this word that people weren't comfortable. And if they're even at all not confident about that they're saying it the correct way, it's going to make it more difficult for them to spread the word. And this is back when the Prius was new. Nobody knew it was pronounced Prius at the time, hardly, you know.
Right.
So you want to be careful and make sure that it's something that's easy to pronounce, because that'll make it, you know, if it's fun to pronounce, if it's easy to pronounce, if it's not questionable in any way, it's going to increase the likelihood that people spread the word regarding it.
Yes. I would even say that you can take a name that may be easy to pronounce. So like I just finished reading Delivering Happiness by Tony Hsieh, who is the CEO of Zappos. And The guy who originally started Zappos, he called it, it was called something else like shoe site or something like that. And then they came up with a zapato, which is, I believe it's zapato, which is the Spanish word for shoe. And then they messed with it and came up with, you know, a Zappo, but they didn't have two P's in it because zapato is just spelled with one P. And Tony said, hey, people may mispronounce this thing, so let's put two P's in there so that they'll say it the way we want it said.
Nice.
So that, you know, that's how the evolution of that name, you know, came about, because it's like, okay, this is the real spelling, you know, the Spanish spelling, but let's change it so it's easy for our potential market to be able to say this and pass it along. And then it becomes a cool brand in and of itself.
Along with easy to pronounce would be easy to spell.
Yeah, and Zappos is easy to spell.
Right. Yeah, you could probably just hear the word Zappos and go, I bet I can guess how to spell that.
Right.
Yeah. So, and there, I see sites all the time online. I mean, people are building brands. In fact, I have viewers of my videos that when, you know, I check their email addresses or when I'm emailing them back and, you know, it's so-and-so at blah, 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 .com. And sometimes the domains, I have no idea, you know, where they came up with the name or something like that. It's so complex. Like, it's complex to spell, you know, lots of consonant letters mixed together, lacking vowels and stuff. And so, you know, you just want to, ideally, you want to, if you can, find something that is easy to spell. And if you want to know if it's easy to spell, ask a kid somewhere to spell it.
Yeah, when I first got started, especially with the online offline work that I used that I when I about 10 years ago, where everybody was trying to do that whole clicks and mortar thing, what we found was you had to have something that was easy to spell, and even if your company name wasn't easy to spell, your website name had to be, because if you were going to use it in radio, people had to be able to know how to spell it just by hearing it, which usually helps if it's easy to pronounce. Then you can say, okay, this is at least the idea of how it's going to be spelled. And then even then we would still have to buy like common misspellings, domain names with common misspellings to transfer that traffic over to the main site. All those things were important, and they still are, even if you're totally online. But I would also say that some names, even though they may not be easy to spell, like Tumblr, right?
Right, right. Or Flickr.
Or Flickr.
Without, you know, the E.
They both of them took the E out.
Yep.
But if you were trying to type that in, and I don't know if Flickr with the E was available, probably not. You know, when they came up with the name, it probably wasn't available. So they just bought the one without the E as part of, and said, hey, isn't that a cool brand name? And then maybe they purchased it with an E. I have no idea. I've never looked, but they probably own both domain names now. But those things, people can easily find them and they can easily spread them. And the reason this it doesn't really matter is because it's all hyperlinked together. The internet is hyperlinked. So you may not know how to spell it, but it's going to be found easily.
I want to say that Firefox.com wasn't available for a while. And so when I wanted to get Firefox, I had to go to getfirefox.com to download it. And I think at one point they somehow got the domain Firefox eventually. But for a while, you know, for a while they would have to, I guess, direct over to the other
right.
one.
Right. Well, you know, it's the venture capital thing.
Once you have that money.
Yeah. Once you've got millions to spend, you can go buy a domain name off of someone else who would gladly give it over for $100,000.
So the venture capital thing is not what we talk about on this show so much. It's not that's not our style, but that's a good point.
There are a lot of people, and this kind of goes back to that whole for sale thing. There are a lot of people who do buy domain names and just sit on them and for the purpose of reselling them at a later point. So that is something that even if you buy a domain name, you're not quite going, you may or may not use it, but you think you might spend the $8 to register the domain name and sit on it yourself for a while. And maybe you'll use it. You may use it as a product. You may come up with. I've got one that that I've had for years now. It's called internetsemester.com. I've always intended to make a semester long internet marketing course to go there, like how to build your business online. I've never used it. I've owned it for years. And it's just like one of those things that it would make a good product name, but it would not make a good company name.
Yeah, no, definitely not. So what's better to have? I mean, Tim, maybe I should ask you this. What's better? Is it better to have a separate little miniature site for your product individually?
Yes.
Versus have it all be part of your website itself?
Yeah, amazing. I gave a short answer to
a long question.
Right. Well, that's like a first for me.
So, yes. So, why? Okay. Why is that better?
The reason is in branding, you want to be able to own as much space online as you possibly can. It helps with search engine optimization. It helps with branding your company and your products. So if you have a product, even though you have a really cool name that you came up with, it's a good idea to spin off that product into its own website, because then you can do a bunch of different testing on your marketing that won't interfere with your main site. You could do it with a sub page. A lot of people do. Like they'll have.
I do. That's what I've been doing. And maybe I shouldn't be.
Well, you can do it. It's not a problem. It's just that you can do a lot more if it's on its own site.
It gives me more flexibility for testing things, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And tracking.
Right. So you know that everything coming there, you don't have to like sift through your Google Analytics to figure out, oh, it's this page that's getting the hits and stuff like that. You go over and you've got your site, and you can actually give a lot more emphasis on the selling of that product on that site.
Ah, yes.
So you don't have to worry about people accidentally going to a different page on your main site and forgetting why they even came there, especially if you're spending money on advertising.
You know, what's funny is that I've been doing this for so many years, and this is probably a fundamental thing that just everybody knows, but I didn't know this. I didn't realize that. And I suspected, because I noticed other folks are doing this. Like, for example, copyblogger.com, it's a website I read frequently. That I noticed when they were selling their thesis WordPress theme, that they sent me over to DIYthemes.com. I think that's what it was called.
Right.
Yeah. So it was do-it-yourself themes and .com. And it was a whole site, little miniature site that was all about the thesis theme. And I thought, man, that's a really interesting way of doing it. Because the way I would have done it is I would have had like copyblogger.com/thesis. That's what I would have done. But it's probably better to have that separate site.
Well, they may even have that page on CopyBlogger, but it'll then tell you, go over here to actually buy it.
That's awesome.
But when you're doing all your marketing just for a thesis, that particular product, right?
Right.
That's what you're doing. You're marketing it. You're not marketing CopyBlogger when you're trying to sell thesis.
Correct.
So it doesn't make sense to have somebody on your main site, because then you got to take out the navigation. You've got to tweak that page so much that it would just be easier to give it its own site.
Okay, awesome. All right, let's do some more tips that have to do with names here.
Okay.
Because we're doing what we always do. We're wandering professionally. This is a very professional wandering that we're doing.
I like cultivated tangents.
Cultivated. We might have a potential name for this show. We got to check to see if that domain's available. Cultivated. All right, here we go. Okay, so we talked about easy to spell. We talked about
easy to pronounce
and make sure it's available or is it for sale, or right. Check to see if it's for sale. We talked about making it memorable. Let's talk about some different ways to make it memorable.
Alliteration, that's one of the best ways, because we all grew up learning nursery rhymes and stuff as children. It's something that it's easy for our minds to just wrap around.
This is so funny, but when you say alliteration, the first thing I think of is Peter Piper Pizza, which is local. It's a little pizza shop. I mean, they have multiple locations. I don't know if they're nationwide.
Yeah, they're a chain.
They're a chain, big chain. Well, Peter Piper Pizza, that's a good example of alliteration. It's a repetition of that sound, that consonant sound.
Yeah, so you can say it to other people easily. Then you have things like Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola, absolutely.
it's a huge brand, maybe partly because of the fact that it's easy to say, and it's kind of fun to say. So a lot of things that you can use that in naming, it's going to be easy for people to, it makes it memorable and easy to pass.
We use that repetition of the consonant sound in paper clipping.
Right.
You know, paper clipping uses alliteration to make it sort of roll off the tongue. That's what happens when you use alliteration in the name. It sort of rolls off the tongue a little bit, I think. So another thing that you can use is sort of the opposite of alliteration, which is assonance. Assonance is when you have a repetition of a vowel sound. So once again, you have Coca-Cola. So it's got alliteration in the C sound, Coke, and also O, Coca-Cola. And we've had a few things. An Izzy video, that's what I'm relying on there. Izzy video. See how it brings them together there? Makes it one little... Anyway, that's it. That's something else that can kind of make it roll off the tongue, is if you have some assonance there. Also, rhyme. Rhyme is cool. I can't think of a lot of examples, but there's one called Smug Mug. I don't know if you know that. It's a photo sharing site, sort of like Flickr, I guess. But Smug Mug has rhyming to it. Makes it very easy to remember.
Very cool. Then the one simple one is the shorter is better than a longer domain name, just because, well, if it's shorter, it's going to be easier to spell, it's going to be easier to pronounce, and it's going to be more memorable.
Now, you're saying in general it's better to have a shorter domain, which I agree. That's what I've always heard. But one thing I hadn't thought of, and Tim, until you brought this up, is that it can actually make sense to get a longer domain if it's great for search terms.
Yes.
If it's good for SEO.
So, and that's one of the things that a lot of search engine optimization companies and optimizers do, is that they will go out and buy the actual search term that they want to rank for. Because what'll happen is, in almost all the search engines, you'll automatically be number one just because you have that. And if it's a .com, if it's a .net or something, maybe not. But if it's a .com, you're almost guaranteed to be number one almost instantly without doing anything yet.
And then what do you do with that? Let's say that you get, what do you do with that domain? It's some long domain. But you don't just copy your main website or your product over to that site, do you?
No. You actually take the time to... what I like doing is putting an article, really, really good content on it, and then using that to send somebody to buy something. So
basically, you build an actual website there.
Right. Not a big one.
Just a few pages?
Yeah, usually about 4 to 5 pages, mostly to get around Google's thin site bias. They don't like sites that only have a page or even a couple of pages. So a lot of people will build 5-page websites to get around that. But you may not want them linking directly. This will get into SEO stuff, and I will skip that.
But, okay.
But what I usually do is have them there so that they have great content, because you want these people to, it's like putting them in a marketing funnel. They've typed in that phrase, and then they come to this page. You can have great content, or you can even sell directly from that. Which a lot of people do, especially in affiliate marketing. A lot of people will sell directly from one of those keyword terms.
That's awesome. Okay, so you mentioned .com there also, that it's important to have the .com as the implication, because you said if it's a .com, it could rank higher, but maybe not if it's a .net or .info or .biz or .whatever, TV, I guess. There's a lot of different ones.
What happened was if you remember the .com boom and .com bust, mm-hmm. Okay, that period in time really got all of the world to focus on .coms. If it's not a .com, then it's not a good site. It doesn't really make any sense, but that's how people behave. So if people are behaving that way, you might as well follow along, which then reinforces the behavior. And all of the search engines give emphasis to the .com over any other domain name. It's not domain name.
What is it called? It's the
I just completely lost top level domain.
Yeah,
right. Okay. So they give precedence for the .coms, which reinforces the whole idea that .coms are more valuable than the other than
it's
the others.
It's a never ending spiral, isn't it?
Right. Unless you're in, say, if you're in Australia Australia or the UK. .co.uk.
Oh, okay.
Those actually are more valuable than a .com because the search engines give precedence to those there first.
I didn't know that. Okay.
So
.com is the priority.
Yes.
Okay. So in other words, if one of our listeners is trying to come up with a name right now and they're checking domains to see what's available and they see that the .com is taken, but the .net is available.
Depending on what you're going to do with it, if it's going to be pitching a product, if you're going to be selling a product from it, not a problem. If it's going to be your main brand, big problem.
Got it. Okay. So in other words, hold out for a .com.
Yeah, come up with a different name. Try to buy it.
Yeah.
Try to buy that name that you originally wanted, and if it's within your budget, if it's if you can afford it, buy it.
What about hyphens? A hyphenated name. Okay, so what if it was Izzy hyphen video?
It should be skipped.
Okay, so no hyphens.
Yeah, no hyphens. If you even in search engine optimization stuff, and this goes in and out of favor with the search engines. A long time ago, because search engines could not read.
It's funny to say a long time ago.
Well,
a long time
ago. Yeah. A decade ago.
Which is a long time.
In the internet world,
yeah.
That is ancient history. Search engines could not actually read the different words inside of a domain name. They couldn't do it. So if you wanted to rank for particular phrases, you had to put a hyphen in there so that each word stood out.
Oh, that's funny.
For the search engines, and then you would rank for that term. Well, people still buy hyphenated domain names for the search engines, but every once in a while, the search engines never tell anyone, but those things will go in and out of favor. Like the one day they'll rank and then another day they won't rank. And we have no one in all the reading I've done has ever said why that happens.
Oh, that's funny.
It's just something that comes in and out of favor over time.
So in other words, if it's going in and out, you probably don't want to invest your time there because it's not predictable. It's not reliable.
And the big thing is for search terms, you can still do it. Like if it's going to be a support site for your main site, you're just going to have some content on it to try to push people over to your main site. Okay, that's not a problem. But if it's going to be your brand name, no hyphens. Just flat out no hyphens because people will not type them in. And it is not easy to say when you're trying to tell somebody, go to Izzy Video, a hyphen or dash or whatever anyone calls them, right?
Yeah.
So it's not easy to pass along. So it kind of breaks the other rules that we were saying, easy to spell, easy to pronounce, that sort of thing, doesn't have it.
I think we probably hit the hyphens pretty hard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I think, but it's important because you still see a lot of people doing it.
Yeah.
So don't do it. So then the other is numbers.
Okay, so now this is one that I've seen 99 designs, and I think that's numbers, right?
It's yes.
Because nobody spells out 99, but what I think what you're talking about
I
is...
I bet you they own the spelled out version of 99 designs.
I bet they do too, although I don't know that.
I'm just guessing. Yeah. I've never typed it in. I've always put in the numbers.
But see, that is where the 99 is an actual number. Is that what you're referring to when you
yes.
say no numbers?
No. Well... Not that you shouldn't have numbers. Numbers are one of those special case scenarios. A lot of people put in the number four instead of
F-O-R. Right.
Don't do that. Don't use the number two.
Well, I mean, once again, it just becomes confusing. If I say, hey, go to food4you.com and then I have to say it's food, then the number four, then the letter U. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's just, it's hard.
Yeah. Don't do that. Get a different domain name instead, especially if it's going to be your brand name. The other thing is it has no search value. Numbers don't, are a lower priority in the search, in search. So they go with the spelled out version first. So if you're going to have four, use the actual word F-O-R or F-O-U-R if the number is important in your name. 99 Designs is successful because it's a brand.
Yeah, they built a brand around it.
And they already had built-in traffic from another site that sent all the sent tons of people over to it. So it became a big brand really fast without having to worry about the number issue. So and it kind of makes sense because the two nines are easier to do than spelling out 99. So there's those kind of things you would take into account. But if you're just talking about like using a two in replace of T-O or T-O-O, don't do it. If you're in the same with like the number four, don't do that silliness. Cuteness does not work for brand or for SEO.
I can't think of anything else that we need to say right now as part of this episode to add. I can't think of adding anything else. Can you? Or is this pretty much it?
This is a good place to start.
Yeah. I mean, I could think of all kinds of things that would be more in depth, how to come up with names and brainstorming and all that stuff. I mean, because I've done all that. I mean, when I'm coming up with a name, I pull up several tools. We pull up the thesaurus.com, which is not a great name. I mean, it's great because it's a thesaurus, but most people can't even spell that. It's hard. Right. So thesaurus.com, I bring that up. I use bustaname.com. I use nameboy.com. I'll check domain availability at godaddy.com, but then I end up registering through my domain. I mean, through my my host. That's where I register my domains at Dreamhost. But then, you end up coming up with like associative words and you're following things around, and you can also go with opposites. And so, you just have to be creative. I mean, I don't remember how we finally came up with Foolish Adventure, but we went through a lot of other possible names before we came up with Foolish Adventure. And we just both loved it because we both consider ourselves type of foolish people in a lot of ways.
Yeah, definitely the foolish part. And
the adventure.
I like doing adventures and having, and treating life as one big adventure.
I mean, I think I mentioned on the first episode that my original inspiration for the word foolish came from Steve Jobs's address that he gave at Stanford University, where he was speaking to the graduates, and he ended his talk with, stay hungry, stay foolish. And that whole thing about foolish really resonated with me because that's how I feel all the time as I'm building my business. I think today on this episode, I've demonstrated that I'm foolish in several ways. I mean, there's probably a lot of people listening to the show because I know we have listeners that are really big into internet marketing and really smart and savvy about building businesses online. And they're probably thinking, oh my gosh, he didn't even know that you should build a separate little miniature site that's all about that one product. And that's true. I mean, I didn't. I'm being totally authentic. And it's one of those other things. I mean, I'm foolish in a lot of different areas, and yet it's still working. And I think that should actually, that in itself should be a nice like indication that anybody can do this stuff because you don't have to know everything. You just have to know enough, I guess.
Right. And that goes back to our, ready, fire, aim approach is that you need to get going and you can always course correct along the way. You can fix things as you go along, which was one of the things that we're going to talk about was renaming a site.
Yeah. So what happens if somebody has a site already, they've already built up some traffic, they've already started building a brand around it, and now they're frustrated with the name. Like, they might have to rebrand, I guess.
Yes. It's one of those.
Is it hard to do?
Yeah, it is. It actually is hard to do. But if you're early in the game, then it's no big deal. If you've only got a little bit of traffic to your site, not a big deal. If you've got thousands of people coming to your site already, then it becomes a really gut-wrenching experience. Like, do I pull the trigger on this, and will I lose a lot of traffic? You probably will lose a lot of traffic.
But it could be better in the long run, maybe.
You're right. The long run, because like Zappos, right? It became a huge brand, but if they would have stuck with the original name, it probably would have never grown to the type of business that it is today, because they would have been stuck with a really lame domain name.
What was it? You said shoe site?
It was like that? Something shoe site, online shoe site or something like that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Where's the style?
Yeah, no branding in that whatsoever, you know, and it doesn't capture you as a good brand name does. So renaming, and they renamed early in the process, but they were already making sales at that time. So, you know, they were already in the process of building the business, but they still pulled the trigger on going a different direction, and then they were able to grow to being a huge brand.
Awesome.
Yeah. So other naming, because I see some people coming in and they're putting in their comments and they've got something at Blogspot or WordPress.com where they do not have their own hosting for their domain name. They need to. They need to go out and get a domain name that they can build a brand around, because any work you do on one of those, say on Blogspot or Blogger or any of those platforms, any work you do to drive traffic to it is gone. It's not your traffic. You can't take it with you.
In other words, you kind of get stuck there. You back yourself into a corner and you're stuck there moving forward.
Right. Well, because you end up having that gut-wrenching experience when you go to switch over to your real brand, when you finally go, gosh, you know, there might be something to this, then I'll go ahead and spend the $10 a month for hosting and the $8 for the domain name. It's like, pull that. That's an easy trigger to pull, you know, $18 to get started. You have to do
those websites are designed, like Blogger and TypePad, they're designed for hobbyists, you know, folks that just want to share their thoughts and feelings. But when it comes to turning something into a business, that it really makes a lot of sense to get your own domain. And I don't think I would personally want to build up a big business around, you know, Blogspot. It wouldn't be like izzyvideo.blogspot.com, which, by the way, I did have at one point. I think my first two episodes of Izzy Video were on a Blogspot blog. And so, but you know, the reason why it's so attractive is because it's easy to get started. And most folks imagine that having their own domain would be an enormous, like, complex thing to set up. And it's actually a lot easier. And we'll be showing how to do that soon in this new course that we're going to be launching. So,
right. So I'm really against people being on those. Yes, you can get started. And yes, for a hobbyist, but say one of the things that we talk about is, you know, building a business off of your passion. Well, if it's your hobby, you like talking about whatever it is and you're blogging about it, well,
get yourself a domain.
Yes. And you might be able to make money off of it.
I think we've nailed this one.
Yes.
I am saying it a second time.
Well, there are other things we could go into, but they would be long discussions in and of themselves, going deeper into branding, going deeper into search engine optimization, which, you know, we've covered a little bit of, and why having your own domain name and going through this process is important. But there's a lot more that could be said, but it's a much higher level and may actually prevent people from just taking action and getting started.
So let's take action and get started. Hopefully this episode is helpful in helping you come up with some ideas for names, or at least get those wheels turning. So as you are brainstorming names, you can identify which ones are good and which ones maybe aren't so great. And so you don't, like, name your business the wrong name from the very beginning.
Correct.
So, all right. Well, that's all I can think of. So for now, I'll just say goodbye and you can say,
enjoy your foolish adventure.
Thanks for listening to Foolish Adventure. If you found this information helpful and want more like it, please visit foolishadventure.com. Do you have specific questions you'd like us to answer? Leave a comment on the website. Who knows? Maybe we'll create a whole show to answer it. Also, we have a voicemail line where you can ask questions. The number is 480-331-4695.